All right, well, I'm David Liggett with Data Center Hawk, and I am very thankful and glad to be joined by Wes Cummins. Wes is the CEO of Applied Digital. Wes, good to see you. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, glad to be here, David. Thanks for having me.
Before we were we started talking just about how busy Applied Digital has been. And before we get into that, I'd love to know your background and how you kind of took on this position to help lead this company.
So my background is I've been a tech investor for 24, almost 25 years now. And I was digging into, it was actually into the Bitcoin mining industry back in 2020, and saw an opportunity and really started the company there with a couple of other guys. And we were originally going out deploying large amounts of GPUs for, it kind of had an investment slant to it where there was a lot of different tokens. You could do proof of work with GPUs. And so the way you basically chose your investment was by aiming your GPU capacity at those tokens. That business evolved quickly in May of 21 when China cracked down on Bitcoin mining and all crypto mining. And there was a mass exodus, and a lot of that came to the US. And we'd already started to assemble a team that could, locate power and build these style of data centers. We assembled a great team, which there was a really shallow talent pool for that at the time, because there was almost no Bitcoin mining facilities in the US. 70%+ I think was in China at the time. So we assembled that team. We signed our first power agreement in July of 21. We broke ground on our first 100 megawatt facility in September. That facility turned online in January of 22. So it's a really short time frame. And then we proceeded in, over a 24 month time frame to build 500 megawatts of that style of capacity for the where we're, I refer to us as kind of the Equinix of Bitcoin mining. We're the largest in the world data center host only company for that purpose. And then in 22, in kind of the April, I think May timeframe, but in the earlier part, the first half of 22, we were looking around at what else can we do with our assets, large amounts of low cost power. And we're already doing, BTC data centers. And we landed on high performance compute. And at the time, if you'll remember, that was a niche market.
Sure.
And so we were talking about building 5 or 10 megawatts alongside of our, 100 plus megawatt facilities. And we diversify our customer base, and we hired, some people that had more expertise in this field. We designed a new style high performance computing data center with high power density. And then as we started to build that, we put a software layer in place to run a cloud service out of that facility. And the only reason that we did that initially was because we thought that we would have to be our own first customer in the data center to show the data center worked. It was a new style. And so we did that in the second half of 22. And then, the world changed, from an outside perspective in December of 22 when ChatGPT was introduced. And so that was our first real, widespread introduction to generative AI. And it didn't really change anything for us, at that moment. But when it became really obvious to us was when NVIDIA introduced the H100 in March of 23. And then in April of 23, we were out talking to people again about our data center capacity. Turns out our data center capacity was a perfect fit for what we were building for the H100 server. We were introduced into our first AI cloud customer, Character AI. And so we already had the ability for a cloud service in place. We had a facility coming online. And so we signed that contract in May of 23, a fairly large contract for cloud services where we basically have the data center and own the GPUs and provide it. Looks a lot like a bare metal service.
Sure.
And so, we saw the world change in a big way in that time frame. And so it was not just Character, but we signed more contracts and we saw a huge amount of demand for large scale GPU deployment. Yeah. But it was unique in that the power density really mattered, and the because the networking goes in between inside the data center, the networking for the InfiniBand to make these run like supercomputers, you need all the servers close together. And so you're talking about not only does each server take 10.2 2 kilowatts of power per server. You need multiple servers in a rack. You need a lot of these placed together. And so that they can be within kind of the magic numbers, 30 meters of the network core. And so we saw that. We went out and looked for colo space. We grabbed some colo space from third parties because we saw the demand on the cloud side. But what we couldn't find is really large amounts of colo that could get a lot of interconnected GPUs together. And so I went back to my real estate team and I said, guys, I know, you know, we were going to build 5 or 10 megawatt sites. We need to go back to building hundreds of megawatts. And so that was a big change for us. And luckily for us, we already contracted a significant amount of this power that we were originally going to use for BTC. But these sites were, it was a stroke of luck in that they had a pretty amazing fiber connectivity to these sites, because that's a big difference between HPC and and BTC mining. So we built we'd already done our one design, but after getting experience with the, you know, running these GPU clusters, we redesigned, broke ground on that in October of last year, and we're building our first single building, 100 megawatts of IT load, with very high, you know, up to 120 kW rack density. So over a couple of floors, you could actually get all of the GPUs inside the building on the same network, on the same core. So you could get, you know, close to 70,000 H100 GPUs in the building at that density. And that's really what we were going for. And we, you know, announced our first customer there back in January. And we're just seeing a huge amount of demand for that kind of capacity. So there's a quick overview of kind of where we are, or where we are now, where we were, and then we can talk about where we're trying
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you said, I think you used the term stroke of luck, but I'm always like, they say that, I guess, luck's where preparation meets opportunity. And I think that really describes what has happened, and also too how quickly things have evolved. I mean, to be in a as capital intensive of a business as the data center space, as the chip space, and to change as quickly as it has, it's pretty impressive. And okay, so you all recently announced a development site in North Dakota, and you've got others too. But just let's talk about the North Dakota site for a little bit, and why that was a place that made sense geographically for a deployment like this, and what you're planning on there.
So the North Dakota site was one that we already had. It has 180 megawatts of Bitcoin facilities operating on that site. The site could expand significantly. So we have a new ESA there for 225 megawatts. So we broke ground, like I said, on our 100 megawatt facility. But what was unique about that site is there's an abundance of wind power that flows into the substation that we're located next to. So you typically get, you know, really reasonably priced power, a lot of renewable power going there. I think it's something close to 2 gigawatts of wind feeds into that substation. So it's a unique site from that perspective. But also what's unique there is we're able to get four to five different fiber providers with dark fiber providing high bandwidth at that site. And so it gives us everything we need, right? Everything we need: low cost power, abundant power, great connectivity. And then, you know, when you're doing anything that requires a lot of power, high power density, it creates a lot of heat, right? Heat equals power, or power equals heat. And being in a colder climate makes the facility more efficient. So our first build is running at sub 1.2 on efficiency, and this on a PUE. And we expect this site to run that or better on PUE, and the cold weather really helps that.
Yeah, I bet. And, you know, the efficiency, I mean, that's incredible, especially as you just consider the amount of power that's going into, you know, each one of these facilities. How does, so the North Dakota site we talked about, but tell us about your other sites that you have and kind of the strategy around the portfolio and maybe where you see it like moving forward.
Sure. So what we built our company on is our ability to find, you know, unique places of power. And so, you know, what we think about, whether it was BTC or what we're doing now in high performance computing, we take our facilities to the source of power, rather than, you know, locating it in cloud regions. And the reason we can do that is the, you know, the workloads are different for AI than they are for traditional workloads, which are much more video streaming focused. And so the latency is not nearly as important, the ultra low latency. So we're able to continue to do this where we go and look for sources of power, what we typically call stranded power, where there's a lot of power generation, not enough transmission. And then we're working on 2 to 3 other locations that are a total of a gigawatt. I don't say where those are right now because they're not locked down. And so I don't want to create more competition for myself, but they're, you know, I would call them kind of more Midwest based.
Sure.
And so we have a really robust power pipeline, and what we're looking to do is, you know, we started with this unique design in Ellendale, North Dakota. And I think it'll be unlike anything, you know, that's been built in the world before. And then we're branching out and really creating more of a platform. So, you know, different locations, different customers. But we're seeing a lot of customers looking for campuses that can handle at least 200 megawatts, but some customers that are looking for 500 at a single campus. And some even up to a gigawatt. So we're out constantly looking for those new sites. But we have a really good power pipeline. A lot of it is, you know, able to come online in the next 6 to 24 months. Some of it further out, but I think that's a big advantage right now, is being able to find the power and have it be able to come online near term.
Yeah. And how have you seen, you talked about just the competitive market, but how have you seen that change over the last, you know, 2 to 3 years? If you think, and as you were discussing earlier, I mean, I think the world had, and the data center world certainly had considered AI and the implications of that. But I don't think until, I think you used the ChatGPT example, but yep, maybe something like that we can all place as a moment in time where everyone started going, hey, this is very real and is very usable to the consumer, let alone the business. And so how has that changed maybe just the market as people going after powered sites and, you know, just that competitive market today? What's that like?
It's unlike anything I've ever seen. So when we went through 21 finding power for Bitcoin hosting facilities, that was a really competitive market, right? You had all of this capacity that, you know, came out of China and needed to go somewhere. And it was, you know, us and many other companies were out chasing around these large amounts of low cost power. So it was extremely competitive. You know, it feels like to me that's kind of, it's 10 plus X what we saw in 2021. I mean, we've heard anecdotally from many, you know, utilities and power providers, just the amount of requests that they're getting for power for data centers. We had one utility that we were talking to that I think runs roughly 5 gigawatts. And over the last 9 months, they've had 15 gigawatts of requests. and by the way, that 5 gigawatts is their full network. This is, you know, homes and schools and hospitals, right? Sure. And we've heard this from many, many different utilities and power providers. So I think there's a rush to get this because, you know, just on the AI side, just with generative AI workloads, you know, I think there's demand for 4 to 6 gigawatts of data center capacity this year. And I think that just continues to grow. But I believe the US market's 22 gigawatts, right, built over the last, you know, 25 or 30 years. Yep. And so you have this enormous extra demand because the market for traditional hyperscale, you know, video applications, real-time, you know, office apps, all the things that we're doing, that's growing as well. This is not, yeah, like in a lot of times when you see kind of an evolution or revolution in tech, it's replacing something else. And right now, this is just not the case. So you're competing and not cannibalizing, or competing mm-hmm. with but not cannibalizing the other market. So it's a large amount of data center capacity. And, you know, right now, you know, things can change, but we've felt that accelerate in the first part of 24, not plateau or decelerate at all.
And it seems like you and obviously Applied Digital having a good relationship with power providers is an important part of being successful in you know, today and moving forward. What's that been like, and how do you work well with the power provider to ensure that you're in a position to, you know, get a substation built, get the power delivered today and like into the future as well?
Yeah. So there's two pieces to that. So one of the big things for us is we're willing to go to the source of power. So a lot of times, you know, like at our Ellendale facility, there's a huge amount of power flowing into that substation and not enough transmission to get it out. And that's just an issue in kind of the staging of things, right? So you can build power gen, let's say in, you know, 18 to 36 months, but building transmission is a complete different task, right? And that takes, you know, 8 to 15 years to build transmission, you know, to you know, long distance transmission to get that power out. And so we're kind of capitalizing a little bit on that mismatch. And this is especially prevalent with renewables. So all three of our sites we have currently are located with wind power. And it's either we're using the utility, we're a provider where a lot of wind flows in the state of Texas. We have a facility that's actually behind the meter with a large wind farm. But I think that's a big advantage for us, is going to the source of power, and the fact that we're, you know, we've done, I mean, 500 megawatts, even on, so it's BTC capacity, we still put, you know, about 500 megawatts or close to 500 megawatts, 486 of capacity in 24 months. That's so we have, you know, kind of proved our chops a little bit there. You know, there's another step for us to do a large scale, you know, high performance compute data center. So those two pieces really help us. Then you touched on this already, but not only finding power, but supply chain is a really big issue here. So finding, for example, you know, very large step down transformers, you know, lead times can be 70 plus weeks on those, if not longer, maybe 2 years. Then we've been good at sourcing some equipment that's available. So our new 225 megawatt ESA that we have in Ellendale, we were able to find an existing transformer for the step down for that. And that really shortened our time to market with that. But supply chain is another huge issue. And if, you know, you can, you know, help the power provider understand that you have access to the necessary switchgear, transformers, all of the pieces that are needed to put this stuff in place, then it makes a big difference in kind of your credibility.
Yeah, I bet. And as it relates to the markets that, you know, you're in now, and maybe the markets that you're going toward, do you see, obviously you're seeing a lot of large demand that can go to some of these maybe more rural markets or areas that, you know, aren't necessarily close to like the city core. Do you think that there are still AI deployments that need to be closer to the city core? Maybe talk about that, or how that's impacting, you know.
Yeah. So let me split this market up the way we see it. So there's the training market. And the training market generally has zero latency sensitivity, or there's just none, right? You know, I tell people maybe you could be training on the moon. But because if you move a large amount of data into the facility, the GPUs crank on the data for, you know, weeks or months, and you train a model and then you ship the model back out. And then you'll receive another batch of data and train the next version of that model. So the training market is very tolerant of high latency. And then you kind of have a spectrum on inference. So there's going to be absolutely mission critical inference where it needs five nines reliability. It needs to be in cloud regions. It needs ultra low latency. And then there's things that have more tolerance and then have a lot of tolerance to latency. And so, you know, when I think about inference that has a lot of tolerance to latency issues, is what I tend to refer to as batch inference. And that's like text to image, that can be text to video, image rendering, those types of things that are, you know, generative AI driven, but tend to have a much higher tolerance to latency. And then you'll have others where a lot of chatbots have a reasonable tolerance. And I'm just trying to give examples of things we don't know, but chatbots, you know, that are based on LLMs that have reasonable tolerance because, you know, you're used to a little bit of a delay in something coming back to you when you're operating with a chat. And that includes, you know, our training on text message. You know, it's not instantaneous that someone replies to us on text. And that's just kind of how we're, you know, trained to interact with those. But then you move to things like Copilot, right? If something's helping you real time in your office apps, or, you know, it's Gemini or whatever it might be, those tend to need to be more real time, ultra low latency type applications. And those, I'm just naming a few of the applications, but you can spread a lot through, throughout the, you know, the group there that'll meet each one of those. So there's going to be a lot of inference that can go to facilities like ours. And then there's going to be some that will be much more traditional cloud region deployments. But those ones also typically will use less less GPUs in you know, a parallel fashion. So you can make it more traditional deployments.
Sure. So if you think about the future and how this plays out over the next 3 to 5 years, what does it look like from your standpoint and on how to accommodate and set up areas where this type of demand can grow?
So for me, the way I look at it, in the massive power demands that we're seeing in the market, there's a near-term solution, like near medium-term solution, and it's a lot of it is what we're doing. Which is, you know, you're going to find stranded power or power that's available, and that'll work really well for these, you know, higher latency applications like training and, you know, batch inference and some of the other inference applications. It's a harder solve, I think, in, you know, cloud regions where a lot of those regions, as we know here, are tapped out, like just not a lot of power in the ring in Virginia, not a lot of power in Santa Clara, if any, right? So those are tapped out for the most part. And they're going to be, again, competing back with the type of ultra low latency apps we're all, you know, well aware of. But I see going to this stranded power and where power is available as kind of the near and medium term solution. Longer term, you know, it needs to be really figuring out new generation. And what we're willing to do for new baseload. And you're seeing some of the largest companies, you know, look a lot at nuclear, like SMRs, the small modular reactors. You know, I think that's one of the solutions going mm-hmm. out, probably one of the best ones, but those are, you know, probably 7 years away, maybe. Yeah. So, you know, I see that as a potential solution further into the future. But right now, I think it's what we're doing. You know, I think you're going to see, we're probably going to see a lot more competition for the style of data center that we're building, the locations we're building, the type of power source and you know, where people are willing to locate. But you know, by the way, Dave, you've seen this already happening just at hyperscale, right? You've, mm-hmm. you've seen some of the biggest hyperscalers, you know, Google building out, I think it's in Omaha, right? Huge amount of capacity in Omaha. Microsoft building out in Des Moines. They're across the mountain range in Portland for Meta. You've started to see these where people have started going to places where there is power. And I think you're going to see that accelerate.
Yeah, well, Wes, thank you so much for taking the time to give us an overview of Applied Digital. Excited to hear about the progress and can't wait to see how the company grows in the future.
Yep. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.